Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And I am very excited to introduce Amber. She is one of our shelvers here at the library.
A first time, by herself, always
a momentous occasion. And she is bringing a book by the same author who wrote The Perks of Being a Wallflower. He's apparently written one for adults now. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. The book I'm presenting is Imaginary Friend by Stephen Chbosky. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's about a boy who has an imaginary friend. The boy's name is Christopher. He's busy fighting his own demons while his mother is fighting her own demons. In the process, Christopher's also trying to fight his mother's demons, and it's creating this secondary world where his imaginary friend is from, who he calls the nice man, and later on in the book, the soldier.
Oh, interesting. So I know that it is shelved in the science fiction collection.
Yes.
Does it feel very sci-fi? Second World does sound like it's a little sci-fi, but...
A little bit. It goes back at the beginning of the book to the past. So, of course, there's a little bit of sci-fi there, and I would think he's alternating between the imaginary world and the real world. So... That's definitely, I feel, a little bit of sci-fi.
Yeah. Does it feel like maybe like more of like a fantasy, like realism?
Like dark fantasy more?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. And is the imaginary friend something that we are introduced with in the beginning, or is it something that comes to him later?
It's hinted throughout the book.
Okay.
It starts off in the past when it's happening to another boy.
Okay.
And it was later learned once he moves to Pennsylvania. His mother moves Christopher from Denver, Colorado to Mill Grove, Pennsylvania to escape her abusive boyfriend.
Okay.
So it comes out later as he's living there that he's starting to show signs that he knows about the imaginary world and that the nice man is coming into his life.
Okay.
How does he get introduced then to the nice man? He hasn't always been around, right?
Right. The nice man goes to sleep for 50 years until Christopher comes to Mill Grove, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And once he comes to Mill Grove, Pennsylvania, he starts having these dreams. He starts having these feelings. He starts being able to hear what people are thinking. His mother, he knows that his mother's worried about him. His father died a very unexpected death, so she's afraid that her son is going to follow in his father's footsteps. And I don't really want to spoil that for
But no, that sounds very intriguing.
That's fair.
So by having these nightmares and everything, she's concerned. She's taken to the doctors. Doctors can't figure out what's wrong with him. It's this imaginary friend who's causing the nightmares, who's causing him to act the way he's been acting. And he's only in second grade. So it could also be added to the fact of he has a very active imagination. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of the doctors are saying. But in reality, there's the second world. And there's a man that's trying to get Christopher to help save the second world in the process, also saving Earth.
Okay.
So.
Wow, that sounds like pretty densely layered.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot of stuff is happening at once. Now, the way you described it, it sounds like the imaginary friend is kind of, like, exists separately from Christopher and is, like, calling on him to come, more like to come to him rather than for him to come to Christopher. Does he make appearances, like, in Christopher's everyday life to, like, help him with his problems?
It's actually, yes. He starts off the book dyslexic, reading dyslexic, number dyslexic, and once the nice man enters his life, his dyslexia goes away just as though overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him proving to Christopher, hey, I'm here to help you. You can trust me because now your test scores are perfect. You can read again, you can write again. So... by doing that, he slowly starts to come into Christopher's life.
Okay.
But prior to that, it's just voices in his head.
Okay.
So.
Do you get very many glimpses of the second world? Is it described at all?
In the middle of the book, for sure. At the very beginning of the book, no. Because, of course, Christopher's very shy. He doesn't want to go into this world. He's scared to go into this world. Because the nice man explains to him, you go into this world without me, you might die in real life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really show much, but then there's a point when Christopher has to go into the second world. And he goes in there, and that's when it really starts to describe more in depth. There's a hissing lady who could very well possibly kill Christopher, his family, his friends, everything he knows.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is the second world basically like ours, but kind of like a weird distorted mirror image?
It's exactly like ours.
Okay.
The street that Christopher lives on, nothing has changed. The only thing that has really changed is, the best way I can explain it is there's the streets and then there's the houses. Mm-hmm. The houses are no man's land. You cannot go there. The street is no man's land.
Okay.
The houses, you go there, you're in danger.
Okay.
So it's kind of darker than the rest of the street. The street's lit, clearly lit. And everything else is dark.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So it's like a hallway filled with scary rooms, but a street.
Right.
Okay.
So, and each room would be each house.
Yeah.
And it's exactly as Christopher knows it. But every time Christopher goes into the imaginary world, everybody else continues on with their lives. He has the chance to go into the imaginary world. This would actually probably be a good time to talk about the cover. There's a treehouse on the cover.
Okay.
And that treehouse is his portal to the imaginary world.
Okay. The treehouse exists, like, in both places?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and it's actually on private property. So he gets in a lot of trouble at the beginning of the book for that.
Wow.
We're continuously sneaking into a treehouse that doesn't belong to him.
So are there any parallels? Like, because you said there are people in the second world. Are there any parallels to the people from Christopher's world there? Or is it completely populated by unique people?
It's all the people from Christopher's world, but they don't know they're in it.
Okay.
That's the best way.
Okay.
They're there, and then once Christopher goes into the imaginary world, it's his soul that's in the imaginary world. So he's standing there, and he's watching his mother work. He's watching his friends go to school.
He sees what is happening, like, in his world, almost like a shadow.
Exactly.
And then outside of it, there's, like, these corporeal, secondary world things.
Exactly. And the bullies that Christopher faced in school, Brady Collins, Ginny, very complicated name.
Yeah.
They exist in the second world, too. But in the second world, they have their mouths sewn shut by the hissing lady.
Okay.
So anybody that is bad to him in the real world, have their mouths sewn shut in the imaginary world.
Hmm. What really drew you into this book when you first started it?
The cover, for sure.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Slender Man in a way.
Yes, yeah,
it does.
And then it starts off 50 years back. And I love books that are able to go from 50 years ago and then jump forward with no other explanation to the present. And there's this whole other story. And then later on, it ties in why it presented 50 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, because I know another draw for you for the book was that it was by the author who wrote Perks of Being a Wallflower. Do you think other fans of that book would like this one as well?
Absolutely. With Perks of Being a Wallflower, I really felt like I was there. He wrote, Chbosky wrote in a way where you could feel the emotions in the book. You can definitely feel this. And that's one of the things that draws me to this book more and more. And normally I stop with books about halfway. If I can't feel connected to them, I stop reading. And this book, I can feel the emotions. He writes in a way where if Christopher's sad, you feel a bit sad. If his mother's stressed out, you feel stressed out, and the anxiety is there until their anxiety is gone, or until you, of course, close the book and come back to the non-book world.
Right.
And if you had to recommend this book to someone, maybe they haven't read Perks of Being a Wallflower, they have no idea who Stephen Chbosky is, what kind of reader would you recommend it for?
Someone who has to really visualize what they're reading.
Okay.
Imagery. If you read and you're really into imagery kind of reading, definitely a book to pick up. Also somebody who, the second world sounds interesting.
Does it have kind of a horror-esque feel to it as well?
Yes. Okay. I actually cannot read this book before bed because I will have nightmares. There are parts in the book where it's very, very sort of Stephen King-like.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to add about the book before we get into the questions? And
one thing I actually found interesting about the book is it's dedicated to Emma Watson.
Yeah, because she played a role in Perks of Being a Wallflower, the movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Could I read an excerpt out of it?
Yeah, yeah.
It says, and finally, Emma Watson, who inspired the ending on the Perks of Being a Wallflower set, and Stephen King, who inspired everything else. I thought that was very interesting, and I read that first.
That's cool.
That was another thing, of course, that drew me in, because Emma Watson's one of my favorite actresses.
It's definitely an interesting, like, connecting piece between Perks of Being a Wallflower and this. Maybe not directly, but very interesting. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get into our game show portion. We'll have some spooky music.
Otherworldly, maybe?
Yeah, otherworldly music. Perfect.
Talk about it.
so I'm assuming you didn't cast the main characters. That's fine. Do you think it would make a good movie, though?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Movie or short, like, TV series? Because that's a thing that's happening more often.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Do you think there's, like, a lot of stuff that's, like, intrinsic to the plot, or could they cut some of it away and it would still make a good feature film?
I feel like they really need to touch on everything. If they're going to make this into something, they might as well make it into a TV series. So they can really dig into everything.
Yeah.
So, and I'm only about half.
Especially through. Something that has so many, like, different worlds in it. You know, you kind of need to cover all of them.
Definitely. And it's in parts. And
That would be a nice, easy way to cut it up into TV episodes.
Yep.
Exactly.
What kind of music would you put with this book if it were to have a soundtrack?
Creepy Beethoven music, probably.
Creepy
Beethoven. A lot of dum dum dum.
Yeah.
Hardcore rock, probably.
Okay.
Because it's a bit scary at times. So.
Okay. What kind of food would you pair with this book? And, it's a two-part question, what kind of secondary world food? Like, what would be the weird, dark shadow of that food?
Oh, fish eyes?
So, what would you... Would that be the normal food or the...
The normal food, and then I guess... Because that's a delicacy in some countries.
Yeah.
Not so much in America.
No.
And I guess the second world would be jellied fish eyes. It's as scary as I can think of.
Yeah.
That's kind of horrifying to picture now that I think about it.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a really interesting food answer, because you're right, fish eyes are a delicacy in some places, but not here.
What will be your lasting impression of the book?
Not really sure how to answer that.
Is it nightmares?
Probably. Nightmares, but definitely, it's definitely a book that you can learn a lesson from. That not everything in front of you is what it seems, that there could be something else hiding behind something that's making whatever's in front of you possible.
Okay.
It's definitely going to be one of my favorite books, for
sure. That's awesome.
Was this a book that took a while for you to get into, or were you immediately suckered in the first few pages?
Absolutely. It was like honestly, I picked it up the first day and I was only expecting to read a few pages. And an hour later, I'm a quarter of the way through the book and I was like, oh. Okay,
what happened?
It's dinner time? What?
So are you pretty much seeing everything from Christopher's point of view?
It actually alternates.
Okay.
And I'm glad you asked me that, because that is one thing I forgot to mention. It alternates between views.
Okay.
There's Mary Catherine, who found Christopher, and that's all I'm going to say. But it at one point, it's just her view, and it alternates each chapter. So one chapter, it's Christopher's view. The next chapter, it's his friend's views. The next chapter, it's a bully's view, and so on and
okay.
so forth. His mother, the sheriff, who plays a major role in Christopher's life.
So it's kind of like he's at the center of a web, not necessarily, like, always the viewpoint.
Yeah, because it'd be hard to write that kind of story from, like, a second grader's perspective all the way through.
And honestly, I don't think I would be able to stay in tune with it if it was just from Christopher's point of view. Because adding other people's point of views definitely helps add more substance to the book.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
is there somebody you wish that you got more of their viewpoint?
Special Ed. Which is one of his friends, Eddie. They call him Special Ed because he, too, is dyslexic. He, too, is in special education in school. So they call him Special Ed throughout the book, and he's okay with it.
Poor guy.
But he has a very innocent viewpoint, and I would love to see more of that. Because, of course, Christopher, he sees everything from this point of view. His mother sees how Christopher's behaving from an adult's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no children really voicing their opinion. And I feel like Eddie, Special Ed, would definitely have a very humorous point of view.
Yeah.
Of Christopher, how the way he's behaving. And there's only... Because he's a very funny character in the book.
Yeah.
He brings a little bit of light to the bad situations. But I feel like if he brought a little bit more, if there's a few more points of view from him, it would definitely maybe liven the book up a bit, not make it so depressing, which making it depressing is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Well, that is all the questions that we had for you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for bringing a book to us that sounds absolutely fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.